We are, of course, brought to you by the legends at Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims peeved, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that our dinks are looking fresh and clean, because you guys are the number one in below-the-waist grooming, and we love it. And it's the holiday season. And you know what to get as a gift for or stocking stuffer? Today's sponsor, Manscaped, has the tools to guarantee you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. It's the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Over 4 million men worldwide have clean pubes, and you want to be one of those 4 million dudes. So, if my math is correct, that's almost 8 million balls. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/go deep. That is 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/go deep.
All right. McConaughey's not running for governor, but guess who's running for mayor of Stoketown? The Going Deep with Chad and JT podcast. What's up, Stokers of Stoke Nation? This is Chad Kroger coming in. I'm here with my compadre Jean Thomas.
Boom clap, Stokers.
And we're here with the maestro of the mics, Aaron. Welcome.
Hey. Did you almost take a crack at his last name and you were
what?
It sounded like you were about to
I do that. Almost, yeah. It's Brungardt.
Yeah. It is a tough one to say.
It shouldn't be.
It's the D. The D before the T. I think that's what messes people
it's
up.
It's just art.
That is what messes me.
Yeah.
Dude, I think we dodged a big bullet not having McConaughey run for governor.
Why do you say that?
I don't think he's that smart of a person.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it was kind of refreshing. You know, he put up that post and he really sort of teased us saying, I felt like he was announcing it.
What did he say?
Well, it's just like the first minute he's like, "Hey, you know, I've been considering office, learning about Texas law and government, and we got some problems to fix." And then he's like, "That's why I will not be running for governor," which is it's refreshing. I'm glad he's not doing it.
That is true. Maybe there's intelligence in that.
Yeah.
And being like, you know what? I don't know if I'm up to the task of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, you know, you'd rather have a guy who knows where he kind of stands than someone who's like, "Oh, I could do that."
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dude, if I had the opportunity, I'd probably go for it. I could do it. Yeah. But McConaughey is probably...
Yeah.
We're probably in the same ballpark.
Well, I when I think about it, it's... I don't know. There's just so much to... I feel like there's so much to know. How can you make those kinds of decisions? And also, it's a losing situation, I think.
I think mayor. I think if you're a celebrity, you should stop at mayor.
Mayor's sake. I mean, Clint Eastwood.
That's what I always think about in Monterey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Sonny Bono, Palm Springs.
That works great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He was a congressman as well, though.
He pushed it a bit.
Yeah.
That's all right. I think congressman. Started mayor, ended congressman. That's it. Right. We should follow a congressman around for a day and see what it's like. Yeah. I'd be pretty fascinated, actually.
Me too. What's up?
No, go ahead.
I had nothing to say.
I don't think I had much to say either. Just felt like the right time to talk.
Yeah. I mean, when I watched the movie with Tom Hanks... where he's Charlie something.
Charlie Wilson's War. Directed by Mike Nichols.
Watching that, I'm like, he's a congressman, right? He's not a senator.
I think so.
Watching that, I'm like, that looks pretty sick.
It is a pretty dope life in that.
Yeah.
He's sleeping with a bunch of gals.
Oh, right.
And saving Afghanistan.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Hanks.
That worked out well for us.
He was not cast well in that movie.
No.
They're like, "Tom Hanks is going to play a roguish congressman who can't keep his dick in his pants." I was like, "Tom Hanks?"
All right, first scene, he's going to be doing blow off an ass.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, get Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
All right, that's Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid would have crushed that.
He would have been amazing.
I could watch a whole movie of just Dennis Quaid doing blow.
He's built for that.
Yeah.
But then they put Tom Hanks in there. You're like, I don't know, dude. I think this guy would fall in love with the first girl he sniffed blow off her ass. He'd be like, "You're the one." And that's why I love Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Do you buy Leo as a Wall Street kind of monster?
Yeah, I think Leo's really good when he plays a dandy. I don't like him when he plays like a hard ass.
Yeah.
Although some people really like him in Departed and Blood Diamond and stuff like that. I don't believe him as much.
Right.
Honestly, I think it's just because I'm like sizist.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has enough bulk on him for me to believe he's one of those guys.
I don't really believe he can put on muscle.
He doesn't really. He's always got like yoga body.
Like in Departed, he's doing tricep.
He's doing dips.
He's doing dips. That's right. But there's not much muscle going on there.
And I feel like for an actor of his caliber, if he's like, all right, you're going to play a tough like Boston guy, he'd probably want to bulk up a little bit. But I think that's as much as he could bulk up.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know if he does. He physically prepare a lot for roles. He kind of looks the same in everything, right?
That's true.
He's a little. He looks a little chubbier in this new Adam McKay movie where he's playing like a scientist, I think. So yeah. That makes a maybe he bulked up that way. But that's like the
he messes with his hair.
He does. He's got nice hair, yeah. Dude. I was thinking about this. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Is Bradley Cooper right now the second biggest prestige actor in his prime behind Leo?
Probably.
Yeah, like in terms of the parts he gets, it's probably B-Coops, right? Like who else would be in that conversation? Like maybe Brad Pitt, but he's a little long in the tooth.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Gosling, Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac for sure.
But I think Bradley Cooper would get first dibs on a part before Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Oscar Isaac and Adam Driver, I think, have that similar thing where they're in like everything, but you're never really... I don't really look at them as like movie stars.
And yeah, and you don't go to see the movie because of them, right. Really. Like, I do, but I don't know if they draw on like a huge audience.
Yeah. Yeah. I see them as great actors, but I don't really see them as like movie star kind of status.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if either of them are like conventional leading men.
Yeah.
Although Oscar Isaac's got like an Al Pacino thing going on.
Yeah. And he's great in Drive too.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a fucking good actor.
Yeah, I always forget that's Oscar Isaac because he looks... Him in Drive compared to Star Wars is like, it's totally different. He plays such a good tough guy in Drive, and then Poe, whatever.
Yeah, he's good in Star Wars too.
Yeah.
It's just like a charming, kind of like a little bit outside the lines, but not really in a bad moral way kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just very patriotic.
He's good in Dune too, dude. I didn't like Dune that much.
Dude, I watched like an hour of it. And I was like, whatever, it's taking too long. And then I finished it, and I was like, I like that. I don't know what it was, but at the end of it, I was like, I enjoyed that.
I think people like the world. They like the Harkonnen. They like all the words. They like the Duncan, Idaho. They like, I don't know, the way it's built. But for me, I was like, I don't think it's that great. Right. And then visuals don't do a lot for me.
Right.
Like, I like visuals, but more in, like, Sicario, where it's, like, more realistic and, like, kind of, I don't know, smaller. I like it when it's smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Dune, I was just like, yeah, it looks like a sandy planet. And yeah, that's a spaceship.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of like their helicopter things that they had. Yeah. It was like a fucking dragonfly or whatever. I wasn't a big fan of the ships and the weapons or anything like that, but I I'm not as big a fan of the world as like Star Wars, for example. Like Star Wars, that world I'm in love with. Dune, I wouldn't say the same, but I like Chalamet a lot. And the whole first movie, that just felt like one big setup. Like the end, I was like, I can't believe that it was arbitrary. The end.
Yeah, I guess if you've read the book, it seems like the right place to break it up. But I was like, I'm just going to say the spoilers. It's like, oh, he just beat the shit out of some henchman I've never met before.
Right.
Like, that's not very climactic. Like, they didn't even set that guy up as a badass.
Yeah.
This guy's just like, hey, I'll fight you. And he's like, I'll fight you. And then he kills him, and you're like, that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like a bar fight.
Yeah.
He just ended Dune with a bar fight.
Yeah. In Star Wars, at least he blows up the Death Star.
It's climactic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and fucking Obi-Wan's talking in his ear, and his fucking, you don't know it's awesome. His dad yet, but his dad's chasing him. Yeah. And then Han Solo comes in at the end.
Yeah.
What a great move by Han. Makes me smile ear to ear.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
What do you think, Aaron? How do you feel about Dune? You're a sci-fi guy, right?
I am a sci-fi guy. I haven't seen the new one.
You haven't?
I watched the 1984 version within the last year. I've tried to watch it a few times, and I live tweeted it because it was so bad. I just had nothing but jokes.
Yeah.
Just roasting that movie. So I don't know. I can't even imagine this new one being better, but because I just think it is kind of, it's way out there
right.
in terms of sci-fi.
It is way out there. It's kind of confusing, and I don't know. There's something about lightsabers. It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
And the way anyone can swing around a lightsaber and look badass. Yeah.
And they're not even that badass with it in the first one.
Right. Because
they're kind of two-handing it.
Yeah, because they treat them like George Lucas wanted them to be like medieval swords, I think.
Samurais.
Yeah.
Samurais, yeah.
Oh, he wanted to be like samurais. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I've been watching lately?
Hmm.
I've been watching videos of courthouses. like trials where the father of the victim attacks the accused.
Nice.
It's so awesome.
That is awesome.
I do that.
The dad will just be like, there's this one of this dad just launching across to tackle the guy who killed his son.
Yeah.
He just goes off on him.
Yeah.
And then there's always like five like court guards who like grab him and rip him off.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me at him.
Yeah.
And they're like, sorry, we have to hold you back. And the cops are always like apologetic because they want to let the guy go berserk on the dude.
Yeah.
It just fires me. I cry every time. And then when I read the comments are the best.
What are the comments?
It's like, dad of the year. It's like, no one in the world would ever judge this man. Don't you ever hurt somebody's baby.
Yeah.
It's just all these people just being so fired up on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty beautiful.
I 100% get it.
Yeah. It's very primal, right? When you watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's great court stuff on YouTube.
I never even thought to search for something like that. That's cool.
It just popped up in my suggestions and I just rabbit holed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like when things pop up that way and you're like, wow, what a whole new thing that I never thought I could explore.
In the background of every one of those videos,
uh-huh.
You never see her, but there's always a lady screaming. Yeah. Whenever the dad goes after the guy,
oh, really?
There's always a lady going, no!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
And she has like a pained voice. She probably knows the guy, you know, hates to see him in pain. I think it might be the same lady in every courthouse.
Dude, just... Well, in the trial last week, the Ahmaud Arbery one,
mm-hmm.
when they read the first guilty verdict, he's like, guilty. Some guy in the back goes, yeah, fuck yeah.
He says, fuck yeah?
He doesn't say fuck yeah, but he's just like, he's funny. Like, woo, yeah. And they had to remove him. I was like, oh, that's a bummer because he's so pumped. And the guy, the murderer, he's like, oh.
I saw a lady who got convicted of attempting to kill her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And she faints. She's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, yeah.
And all the comments are like, yeah, you didn't know you were going to have to pay for what you did you, lady?
Who's commenting this?
Dude, stuff? The best people in America. People with a lot of heart.
Yeah.
A lot of passion, man.
Yeah.
A lot just of passion. Computer.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, fuck murderers.
Yeah.
Eat shit. Yeah.
Eat shit.
Let justice be done.
That's good stuff.
Dude, I wanted to show you some YouTube clips that I've enjoyed. I like getting your reactions to like sports stuff.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I've been getting more into sports lately.
Yeah, you've been watching ball, dude?
I've been watching football.
First one is... John McEnroe, who's like the angriest tennis player of all time.
Yeah. Love him. He's great in King Richard. The actor who plays him.
Let me find this thing.
I found my Dune tweets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, people are saying we put up the skateboard wrong. We put it up backwards.
I saw that. What does that mean?
Well, because usually the art is on the bottom.
Yeah. But I wanted to...
Is there art on the bottom?
There is, but I like this more. I wasn't a big fan of the art, but it was like from Tony Hawk.
Yeah, of course.
When we did an ad for Pro Skater. And I like the birdhouse more.
Sure.
That's the reasoning for it.
All right, check this out.
I guess it's backwards. Whatever, call me a poser. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, they're posers. So this lady's been screaming on during his back scene. So he just gets mad at her.
That lady?
Yeah, that's his car.
And he couldn't look at those guys. Alfred Hitchcock could use her for like one of the movies.
What do you expect? What is that?
The one, so they like make a couple comments about it. They're like, Alfred Hitchcock should use those eyes in his next movie.
Yeah.
And then at the end, like the one guy says something sympathetic, and the other guy goes, let's be careful. Let's not make a martyr out of her.
Dude, I was watching the Lions on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The Lions game. The announcers were so funny. They're like, they missed like their extra point. There's one extra guy on the field, so he like was like running off during the extra point. And the guy goes, I guess they're just not used to scoring.
It is so funny when they burn people.
Yeah.
I like it when they seem like slightly perturbed and like apathetic when they're in there.
Yeah.
They're just like another bad play.
Yeah.
They just keep going. It's so funny.
You can tell they're just trying to hold back as much as they could, but they couldn't help it.
Yeah, the Lions are dreadful.
Yeah.
One of the worst teams. Dude, my brother went to Notre Dame and their coach just left for LSU.
I saw that.
Dude, my brother took it hard.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think it's because the coach broke up with them. I think it's one of those things.
Yeah.
I think they'll be better off, though. I like this defensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman. I think make him the head coach.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a great recruiter.
But he basically broke up with them via text, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty harsh.
Dude, college coaches always do that.
Really?
Yeah. And they always look like schmucks doing it. I don't know what the alternative would be, but they always have to like pretend like they're not leaving, and then all of a sudden they're like,
oh, it's
I'm
like a
gone.
Secret.
Yeah.
It's weird that they're doing it during the season, though, isn't it? Like, USC just signed a new coach. Like,
yeah, they got Lincoln Riley, which was a huge hire. SC's back, yeah, baby.
Sure, but like, the season's 2 months in, 3 months in.
Well, and Notre Dame could still make it to the national championship. So he's leaving like right before it gets to the biggest, most critical part of the year.
It's really weird.
But I think it's because they don't want to miss out on recruiting. Like recruiting opened up this week, so they got to get to their new school and start convincing these kids to come to them.
What's his face? Coach O, he left?
Mm-hmm, he got fired.
He got fired. Why did he get fired? Bad coach?
They were really bad the last 2 years after they won the national championship. He was always kind of an inconsistent coach. I think he got like great coaches around him that year. And the team had a ton of talent. Like, so many guys from that team are, like, doing well in the NFL now. And it was just, like, a perfect confluence of factors. And then after the season, all of his, like, coordinators left. They all got better jobs. He lost his quarterback. And I think he's just not a great, like, X's and O coach. No pun intended. And he also has an investigation into some, like, I think, what was it called? Like, Title IX? Like, they have some, like, maybe bad like sexual stuff coming up. I think Coach O was being a little bit of a
perv.
Yeah. So I don't know the details, so I feel bad just putting him out there like that, but I think that is what it is.
Yeah
Who would have thought that guy? He doesn't seem like a perv at all.
Come on, show me that ass.
Come on, get over here. We 12-0. Tigers is 12-0 this year. And I'm hungry. All those victories make me hungry. What am I gonna eat? What's Coach O going to eat? Boys, what's Coach O going to eat?
Women, Coach.
Coach O going to eat women. I got to eat some women. All right, boys, back to practice. Hey, I'm doing an interview.
Hey, I'm doing a press conference.
Oh, that's what he said.
Hey, I'm doing a press conference. Hey, I'm doing a press conference. Hey.
Do you wish sometimes that you grew up in a place where you would have a deep accent, you know?
Don't I have a deep California accent?
I guess that's true.
I never thought I had an accent. And then people were like, you from California?
Yeah.
I'd be like, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, like, what makes you say that, dude?
Well, I went to boarding school in Connecticut. Like, you know, they just...
Well, I mean, just look like California. Like, if California had a son, it would be you.
They're like, you're stoned all the time. It's awesome. And I'm like, I'm not.
That's always been the one that bothered me the most.
Yeah.
When people are like, you're just stoned in this. You're just stoned. You're stoned. Yeah. I'm like, actually, when I'm stoned, you think I'm sober. And when I'm sober, you think I'm stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the flip. Yeah. That's the California flip.
Yeah. Dude, I watch the news.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about this. Dude, How'd that go for you?
My stepdad watches the news.
Don't do it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You guys watch this shit?
Yeah.
It's intense.
So how am I supposed to leave the house after watching the news?
It's bad.
Dude, my stepdad's just watching the news all day. I was just like, fuck, man. This is some heavy shit.
What were they talking about?
Omicron.
Smash and grab robberies.
Smash and grab robberies. I was in New Mexico, so, you know, there's like a hit and run. There's like a murder. There's a burglary. Omicron. Inflation. Gas prices. It really lowered my stoke.
It will, dude. That'll do it. Yeah. Dude, Omicron is my favorite name so far.
It sounds like a transformer.
Yeah, for any of the variants. I'm like, Omicron, that's pretty sick.
Dude, Omicron. I would, if I got COVID, I'd be pretty stoked to say it. Dude, I got Omicron.
Dude, but did you see, speaking of like smash and grab robberies and stuff like that, did you see like Seth Rogen, that one popular YouTuber was like, oh, my car got broken into. This city's like the worst.
Yeah.
And Seth Rogen was like, don't blame LA, dude. You're the idiot for leaving stuff in your car.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, come on, man.
Yeah.
It was a little harsh of Seth Rogen.
No, I know. I read that whole thread.
And then Rogen was like, oh, my car's been broken into 15 times. I was like, dude, shut up. Your car hasn't been broken into 15 times.
He's like, it's like a sign of blah, blah, blah.
No, it's said it's not violating when someone breaks into your car. I was like,
100%.
It's very violating.
Yeah, it was a really interesting threat. I was reading that and I was sort of like, I wonder if I saw Seth Rogen right now and asked him about it, he'd be laughing about it. Maybe he was joking because it seems so ridiculous. I thought it was interesting. Did you read it?
I didn't read it, no. But maybe it's just like people are just tired of people taking shots at LA.
Right. But it's. I love LA. Yeah. But there's things to take shots at.
Sure.
I mean, it's neurotic, not cozy. And the crime has been like, and look, I love it. Yeah. But it's up.
At the Grove. They hit the Grove.
They hit the Grove?
Dude, they hit Nordstrom's at the Grove.
Whoa. After hours.
After hours?
Yeah. They didn't.
Oh, it was after hours? That's fine.
I think so.
They call them a flash mob. Like, what, do they dance into there?
Oh, it was a lot of people?
It's a flash mob.
It was like a dance troupe, like after their thing, they just went to hit the Grove.
Yeah, it's like the fucking Jabberwockies coming. I
mean, that's how they could do like the little holes masks in the gate.
Yeah.
It's a ballsy life being a thief. Literally, there's a siren going by as we talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't ever feel that unsafe here, though.
I've went to see my mom in Santa Fe. And I love being out in nature. We went on a bunch of hikes, and it's just like the reset is amazing, and the hikes were incredible. You know, it's just like the view, and like you're on these like red rocks with like these pinolas. They're like mini pine trees, sick. But I just love being in LA because I love being near the action. I'm like, I this is where it's happening. I like being near that. I don't like being away from where it's happening. I feel like I'm missing out.
I think you're right. Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Yeah.
The juice is here.
Yeah. Something's going down.
Everyone's alive. Everyone's going for it.
Yeah.
Dude, there was this big boxing fight this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show you the reaction of the guy afterwards. So this guy's name is Teofimo Lopez. He was supposed to be like the next big champion. Uh-huh. But I guess he got a little bit cocky going into this fight. He had beat this dude, Vasily Lomachenko, who's like one of the most beautiful boxers I've ever seen. And then he ends up losing this fight to this Australian dude, Kambosos, who was like a huge underdog. It was a really good fight. But then after the fight, Lopez kind of, he couldn't accept it.
Is this, in your mind, the biggest win in Australian boxing history?
Look at me. I'm the greatest fighter in Australian history, and that's not disrespect. I got all the belts.
Hey, listen.
Shoot champ.
You got, hey. Hell of a fighter, but I won tonight, man. Everybody know that. The referee raised my hand. I won tonight. I don't care what anybody says, yo. I won tonight. Hey, at the end of the day, I've been here. I've done that. I want to thank God. I want to thank everybody that came out tonight. Look, I ain't no sore loser. I take my wins like I take my losses. At the end of the day, man, I'm a true champion. I came out here. I did what I had to do. And I went out there and I did my best. Yo, I don't care what anybody says, man. I am as real as they come. And watch, this is the takeover, man. We don't stop. We keep coming. Yo, at the end of the day, man, I love you all. I won this fight, and I'm just thankful.
Did you believe this was a close fight going into those last few rounds?
No, I don't. I don't believe it was a close fight at all. I believe that at the end of it all, I scored 11-2. Well, 10-2.
You believe you won 10 of the 12 rounds?
Yes, I did.
George?
Listen, you got to move up, bro, because...
The Australian guy's like, hey, we can do a rematch. And then the other guy's like, well, I don't know. Like, I'll have to think about it. And then he's like, I haven't seen my son in a long time. Well, he's only 11 days old. Her in the comments was roasting him. Like,
dude, when he's showing off the belts, too, he's like, I don't know, man. Look at these belts. Look at these. He's showing off the belt. Has there ever been a fighter that's like very kind of... sort of soft spoken and just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's a good fight. I think I'm okay at fighting.
There's a couple like that.
Really?
Like in mixed martial arts, like George St. Pierre was always pretty humble. They all have moments where they're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Anderson Silva was also very much like, they both seemed like they came from like a ancient school of like martial arts where it was like all about respect and honor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Boxers are generally a little more like braggadocious. You also have to sell the fights. So like sometimes those like really nice, boring guys, they can't get anybody to watch them.
Yeah.
Because no one feels like emotional like about
it. They're taught to be that way a little bit.
Yeah. Like when Mayweather's first nickname was Pretty Boy.
Yeah.
And when he fought under that moniker, he was like unbelievable. He was more offensive than he ended up being too. But no one would watch his fights. And then when he turned into Money Mayweather and he just started talking shit all the time and like throwing cash at the camera.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, I want to watch this guy get his ass kicked. So everyone started watching the fights.
Right.
It's I don't know if there's much money in being like a
compassionate boxer.
Yeah, Robert Whittaker, my favorite fighter, is kind of like that.
Yeah,
he's pretty humble. Stephen Thompson's like that. There's a couple. Yeah. I can't really think of many boxers like that though. Boxers all kind of talk shit. Oh, Manny Pacquiao was really soft spoken.
Right. Yeah. And he sells fights though, right?
Yeah, because he's a really exciting fighter.
How so?
He's just like really aggressive, really quick, and like throws punches from interesting angles and like moves a lot. Like he's just dynamic to watch.
That's cool.
He's old now though, but in his prime, he was like, it was like watching like a tornado or something like that.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a badass. But it would be cool if a guy was really soft spoken. Like, I don't really want to beat this guy up that much, but like I get paid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
No, you got to, dude, it was funny when Mayweather fought Oscar De La Hoya. I was in Orange County, and like I knew Mayweather was going to win because Oscar was old and Mayweather was just probably even overall at their peaks, just a way better fighter. But dude, the parents who were there were going nuts for Oscar to kick his ass.
Really?
Yeah. There was an anger. They wanted to see Floyd go down. They're like, come on, Oscar. Oscar, get him. Get him, Oscar. You got him. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. Dude, and then I watched the Victor Ortiz fight with some people in the same energy.
Yeah.
They were so mad. At the end of the fight when Floyd won.
Right.
And he won under weird circumstances. The guy went to touch Floyd's hands. Floyd touches him. And then the guy doesn't put his hands up. He just kind of stands there. So Floyd just punches him in the face and knocks him out. But everyone says, first rule of boxing, protect yourself at all times.
Yeah.
So it was like cheap, but it wasn't illegal. And people were so mad at the place I was at. People really hated him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So like when it comes to like Jake Paul, how much of that do you think is... like if you were to talk to Jake Paul now and it's no cameras and stuff, how much of a piece of shit do you think he still would be?
I don't think he'd be as loud a piece of shit, but I bet you he would still be shitty.
Yeah. It's hard for him to, it's hard to imagine him having like just fully created that persona and not be just a fucking knob.
No, I think he's like acting like a douche, but I think he probably is a douche.
Yeah.
But dude, Logan, I'm not sure about.
Right.
I think I like Logan.
I think I like Logan too. How do you feel about Logan, Aaron?
I'm not really familiar with either one.
That's probably healthy.
Yeah.
Are you really?
I'm not. I mean, I remember Logan was the one who did, he you know, went to the forest in Japan, right?
That was his biggest faux pas.
Yeah.
He's filming a dead body.
Dude, check this out. Looking for the fucking vlog.
Yeah, we made fun of him about that on here. That was dumb.
Yeah.
But hey, man, I think that's how I learned about
it. Yeah.
I'm not going to stay mad at you.
What a funny thing. I guess it's not funny, but what?
It's hilarious.
What a funny thing to get canceled for. Filming a dead body in the fucking forest. Wearing like a Pokemon hat. Check this shit out, dudes. And then 2 days later, oh, I'm so fucking sorry. Oh, dude.
Yeah. I get it, man. When that camera comes on, it's a different kind of morality.
Yeah.
The mistake was not, you know what the mistake was not, this is where he fucked up.
Yeah.
I could see in my crazy prank brain being like, get the shot. Hey, if there's a dead body, that could be cool.
Yeah.
The morality comes in the edit. When you're at home and you're looking at the footage, and you're like sober now, you got to look at it and be like, all right, dude, this is too much.
Right.
And then just like, you know,
can't put that,
but they still put it up.
That's crazy. That is like true insanity to not, but you know,
they didn't blur it out. Right.
I don't think so. There was even some stuff when we did the Strider going to the stage at the Osteen event, like, in the edit, there was some people who believed he was Osteen so much that it was like sad.
Yeah.
And I think you told me like in a cut, you were like, just that lady's too sad. You got to like cut her out.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't even remember that.
because it was just like, it was too much. Like, it tipped the whole thing, and then you were like, okay, this isn't fun. This is like...
You start playing with their emotions a little bit too much.
And I think we weren't even doing it intent. I mean, we were trying to trick people, but we didn't know anyone was going to, like, believe that deeply. But, yeah. like, it just... Watching it, you're like, oh, this is sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Yeah. Just because she loves Osteen so much.
Well, that is a bummer.
But, dude, on a positive side, positive note... Aaron, are you ready for this?
I hope so.
You ready, dog? I tried beef liver.
Oh, that's right.
Oh.
And what? How do you? Obviously, you texted me about. You're like, you got veal first of all, which you got dude, a lot of shit for. You didn't know. You don't know what veal is.
I knew. I kind of know. I kind of didn't know. Yeah. Like. But you know what I found out when I was talking to the guy? I was like, what's veal? He's like, it's like a baby cow. And I was like, yeah, cool, fine. Yeah, give it to me.
Yeah.
And then I posted it and people were pissed.
Yeah.
I understand. And then you told me.
Well, yeah, I've driven by a veal farm before. Oof. And it's just calves chained to a pole.
Oh.
But that you didn't know.
I didn't know the treatment. I mean, I guess we all kind of know. Like, I've seen This American Life's about how they mistreat, like, pigs and other kind of livestock. I've never seen the veal one, but I know that they're all getting a raw deal. But I was at a nice place.
But, yeah, and you had good intentions. You were trying to boost your stoke with beef liver.
Trying to boost stoke? I was like, Chad's been into this stuff forever. I should try it. Yeah. And then I was with someone who knew about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was with this gal who, like, freezes it and shaves it off.
Oh,
like,
really? Oh, interesting.
And she says that's the best way to eat it. Interesting. Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is the right time to do it.
Yeah.
I bought it. It looked disgusting.
Yeah.
It's really horrendous looking.
Oh, yeah.
And then we took it out, and we were at the farmer's market just cutting it up.
Yeah, oh, you did at the farmer's market?
Yeah, it was fun. We made that a spectacle of ourselves. So if anybody walked by our table,
what'd
they thought
they would. What'd you cut it with? Like a plastic knife?
Plastic knife and fork. Yeah, from like a pizza shop.
Dude. That's hilarious.
I had a few bites of it.
Yeah.
Pretty nasty. We put salt on it.
Yeah.
Pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah.
But dude, I did feel a boost.
Did you chase it down with something?
No, just straight.
So you felt a boost?
I did feel a boost. I don't know if it was a placebo, but I felt it for sure. I was also worried I was going to get a stomach bug.
Yeah.
And I did get one, but like 5 days later. I do have a horrible stomach bug right now that I'm in immense pain, but I don't think it's because of the beef liver. The timeline doesn't work out.
Right. If it was like it would have probably hit you that night.
Yeah, it's like a day or two, right?
Yeah.
This is like 5 days later.
Dude, coincidentally, though, that same day I freaked myself out because I was watching this guy, Liver King. You follow that guy on Instagram?
No.
He's hilarious. He just eats beef liver, bone marrow, just shit, all that shit every day. I mean, he's just fucking...
He's hot.
He's jacked.
That's what
I would say. He's hot. He's like too jacked, but he's just like, hey, Liver King here. Just simulated a hunt, did a 24-hour fast. Now I'm going to do, you guys know what I'm about to do. 3 to 4 ounces of beef liver, some bone marrow. Delicious. 12 eggs.
Wait, simulated a hunt?
Jesus Christ.
So the whole thing is he refers to himself in the third person. He's the Liver King. And his wife is Liver Queen.
Lucky lady.
Yeah.
Do you think he ever says, I am the Liver King, I can do anything?
Yeah. I think
he says the Morrison thing.
I think he says that every morning. But I think... So he simulates a hunt, which I think is basically just fasting. Like he'll like fast for like 18 hours, 24 hours, sort of like, you know, oh, we went out. His whole thing is like ancestral living, you know, he's the 9 ancestral tenets. And he's like, yeah, we went out to find the, you know, the buffalo. And we killed it. It took us 24 hours. Now we're going to eat it. That's like a simulated hunt. And you got to follow him on Instagram.
But so he doesn't actually kill an animal.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But he lives in Texas. Maybe he does a little bit. I don't know.
But he just like runs around in the woods like he's hunting.
No, I don't know. I don't even know what. I think he just sits around and just doesn't eat. But he does lift all the time and stuff. But those guys are interesting because it's like he's beyond jacked, like too jacked. Sort of like he looks like Goldberg kind of from WWE.
Good ref.
And his videos are him, like, you know, like lifting shit, throwing shit, like pulling stuff around, you know, just sort of, and like getting an ice bath.
Functional
and stuff.
Movements.
Yeah, but he has like a super nice house. I'm like, how, like.
He's got rich parents.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's these guys put on this lifestyle, and you're like, yeah, I just simulated a hunt. And you're like, Is that all you do?
I think he's probably just got loaded, folks.
Yeah. He might have a supplement company. I think that might be another thing too. But I messaged him too, and I was like, because I thought I ate too much, because I was watching his stuff, and so I ate like a fat thing of liver, like this big, like that big. It's a lot of ounces. I don't know how many. So I messaged him. I'm like, Liver King, is it possible to eat too much raw liver? He's like, never.
Well, there you have it, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What else do you need to know?
Someone commented on his thing. They're like, is it possible to get foodborne illness from this? And he's like, if you're really scared, freeze it for 2 weeks. You'll kill any pathogens on it. But you know what? Just quit making excuses and dominate.
that's what the girl I was with told me, is that she freezes them.
Right. Yeah.
I've had cooked liver, and that's disgusting. So.
Oh, dude, yeah. Well, when I just swallow it. I don't even chew it.
But you eat it raw.
I eat it raw, and my skin glows the next day. It's epic.
You're like a puppy. It's good for your coat.
It's good for my coat, yeah.
Which I was stoked on all your posts, all your dog posts.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that, yeah. That's going to be one of my, I think, my legend. But man, dogs are the best.
Yeah.
Dudes, I have to use the bathroom. Fuck.
Oh, shit.
I'm sorry.
All right, bros. It's just me right now and Aaron. How's it going?
It's good. I really want to go to New Mexico.
Mexico's cool. The sky is different.
Yeah.
It's when you look at the sky, you're like, wow, it's like very blue, and it just, it looks so expansive.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
I bet the night sky is insane.
The night sky is insane. I want to get a telescope. Do you have a telescope?
No.
I want to get one, but I feel like in LA, I don't really see the point, because I feel like there's so much light pollution.
There's big stars out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah, when we went to Sedona a couple years ago, like, that night sky was intense.
Yeah.
I've never seen that. I've always lived in the city.
Yeah.
Well, except for like a year.
Yeah.
I spent in the mountains, but...
Was Sedona sick?
Yeah.
Really?
Although, it's funny, like, it's all about the red rocks, but like, I wore sunglasses the whole time that had a slight brown tint to them.
Yeah.
And that made it so much more red and cool. But yeah. Every time I took them off, I was like, this isn't that bad.
Right, like, right. It kind of ruined it for you.
I put those sunglasses back on the whole time. I was like, yeah, red rocks every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about the red rocks I love looking at that stuff.
Yeah.
I love what's it called when it's like a mountain with a flat top?
Plateau?
Not plateau. I forget.
A mesa?
A mesa. Yeah. Yeah. Santa Fe has a bunch of mesas, which are sick.
Yeah. The one thing I will say though about Sedona is like,
yeah,
don't trust the guides that tell you, not the people guides, but like you can get a little guide in town.
Right.
That says like all the hikes and everything. Don't trust how difficult those are based on their ratings. Like,
really? Were they way harder than?
Oh, there was one called the Devil's Bridge.
Yeah.
Which said it was like 2 miles, and it was like 5.5. Like, yeah. It was insane. And then, yeah. And then there was this crazy. After that, we stopped for pizza because it was just like, we need food. Uh-huh. This was insane. And this giant fucking insect flew into the, we were eating outdoors, and this giant insect flew in and was just like terrorizing everybody, and of course it landed on me.
Right.
This giant fucking thing. Somebody eventually,
well, how'd you react?
Somebody eventually got to it, or maybe I did, I don't remember at this point, but maybe I killed that fucking thing.
And really?
It was literally that big.
Was it like a bug in like Starship Troopers where a bunch of green goo splatted out?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a massive dragonfly-ish sort of thing, but fat. I don't know. It was disgusting.
Well, that's why if you go to Australia. I went to Australia, lived there for like 3 months. Everything is bigger down there. All the insects are bigger.
Yeah.
There's bats everywhere. All the poisonous snakes are down there. Ugh. And all the big spiders are down there. So they're like, you know, they'll be like, yeah, there'll be like a brown recluse, you know, just might crawl up through your toilet and shit like that. And you're just like... It's pretty intense. And we went on this one island. It wasn't Stradbroke, but it was like near, we were near the Gold Coast, And we went on this one island. They're like, yeah, 9 of the 10 most poisonous snakes in the world live on here. And you're like, Jesus, dude. Like, there's something about Australia where you're like, I don't think people are supposed to live here.
No.
Because there's like tarantulas and there's scorpions.
And then the whole middle of the country is uninhabitable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the coast is amazing. The beaches are awesome. But,
yeah, yeah. I was supposed to go in 2020.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What were you going to go for? Just vacation?
I was
going to
go. I was going to work, actually. I was going to go follow the dollop and do a travel doc.
Oh, cool.
Them in Australia, because they're huge there.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And then go to New Zealand as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just didn't. I think, I was planning that before Leah got pregnant, so we probably wouldn't have been able to do it anyway.
Right. Does Bill Burr go down there?
No.
Is he big in Australia?
I'm sure he is, but he does more Europe.
Right.
Than Australia.
Yeah, dude, I want to see Limp Bizkit in Europe this summer.
That'd be sick. Do they do more Europe than the US?
Just this summer. It's like all Europe. They're going to be in Germany, England, I think France.
Yeah.
But I feel like going to see Limp Bizkit in Germany is...
You could follow them for the whole tour. People do that.
Dude, yeah. We should message Fred.
Yeah, we can make a documentary about it.
Yeah.
Dude, when I got this stomach bug, I was like, of course, you know me, I was like, what if I die?
Yeah.
And then so I was like, is it, and I bring this up because I think it would be a good movie script too. Is it ethical to have a child if you know you're dying?
Yeah.
Like, do you think it is?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
It's unethical?
I think so.
Well, you still have another parent, I presume, the mom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's unethical. I mean,
you don't think it's unethical?
It's all ego for sure, but does that make it unethical?
So you know you're dying?
Yeah. You're terminal.
I mean, my buddy who just passed away, like he froze his sperm and stuff. So if his wife wants to have another kid, she can do that with his, with his stuff. But I don't know. I don't think it's unethical. I think it's like,
well, you got a homie who did it too. You're close to it. I understand.
But
yeah,
you know, like
I would do it.
Yeah.
I would have a kid.
Really?
And then, so the script would be the kid gets born, but then I survive. And then it's me and her having to get along.
But you survive.
But I survive. And then we gotta raise the kid together.
Is that just because you want your DNA
to live
think on?
I think I'm pretty sick.
I don't have that at
like,
all.
Like, cool. And I went, oh, you don't? That's nice.
No.
I don't either.
I don't.
Even with a kid.
You got a kid.
I know, but I don't. It's not about my legacy.
Totally about your legacy.
No, I don't care.
All right.
She could take her husband's last name and I don't give a shit. Eventually. Or wife.
I like it. But are you, you don't think you'd bump if she was like, hey, I'm gonna, well she's a gal, so it's kind of implied, I guess.
Yeah.
That she's gonna take the name.
But I wish I'd taken my wife's name.
Really?
Now.
That's cool, man.
Why?
I don't
like
think
now
I
that
do
my
it.
Dad is gone, it's like Aaron Adams would have been fucking sweet.
That is a sick name.
That is a cool name.
I don't have to spell that on the phone. Like,
alliteration.
I sound like I said it in my speech at the wedding. I was like, because I kind of realized it in the moment. I was like, I was like, be like a superhero. I should do that.
Yeah. Like,
would you take a lady's name?
No.
I don't think I could either.
Yeah, I know people who've done hyphenated versions as well. And I'm just like,
the hyphen.
But it's also those. It's part of it is those guys. Like, I know those guys.
Yeah.
They're not tough.
I have deep respect for any guy who can like do that. You know what I mean? And be okay with it. I don't think I could.
Right.
You know? Like, I just know I'm a jealous person. I know I'm like, I'd like my wife to take my last name.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's right, but I just know that that's who I am.
Right.
It feels weirdly good, but like at the end of the day, I saddled my wife with this terrible last name.
Yeah, I think it's good.
It's a good last name. It's just confusing with the D.
Yeah, just drop the D.
Just drop the D, bro.
Oh, I did.
I know.
So I have a kid.
Yeah, I don't have that. Maybe because I have nieces and nephews. I don't have that. It's kind of taken care of, but I don't have that legacy thing at all.
Yeah, you guys are making me rethink it. I'm so suggestible. I think it'd just be cool to have a kid, but then
it's great.
But definitely if I was going down, I'd be like, I want a little bit of me still on this earth.
Yeah. I think I might have more of like a cynical outlook. I'm like, I don't even,
bro,
here's my thing. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, how do you make someone as sick as me?
But it's you, dude. Okay, so I'm coming from a similar place because, dude, literally.
But I don't think it's possible.
But dude, literally, my argument was gonna be like, dude, you're so sick. You should want to perpetuate the sickness, dude. Yeah. I think
there's your movie, like the Boys from Brazil, but how to make someone too sick.
Your kid will be as sick as you, if not sicker.
How do you know? I have such a unique upbringing. How do you recreate that?
You'll be weird. You'll be weird to your kid.
I'm gonna throw him in the ice bath. That's
dude.
For sure.
You're gonna be a super weird dad. It's gonna be great for the kid. Yeah. And dude, it's all upward trajectory, right?
I don't know. I think my the way I think about it though right now is like the way I visualize it. I don't know.
What if it's like Luke Skywalker, but Luke Stokewalker?
You know, I don't know. Maybe when I'm 40, I'll be able to visualize it more. But now I'm just sort of like, I want a golden retriever.
You're such an optimistic person, but I can tell there's a pessimism in you that believes your kid's going to be a dork, dude.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
You're afraid to have a dork kid, dude.
I think that's what it
is. Your kid's not going to be a dork, dude, 100%. We got this. Dude, it takes a village, too. He's going to be surrounded by good people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if me and Strider come over and the kid's acting dorky, we're not going to curb that a little bit?
Yeah, but I guess it's just like you come home, hey, Dad. Oh, God.
Well, that happens no matter what.
Right.
Of course you're going to think your kid's a little bit of a dweeb.
Yeah.
It's more just like on balance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, your kid's going to be sick. If you're dying, you should have a kid, too.
I like how I came at it with like, I don't care about my legacy, no ego, but I'm like, no, it's all ego.
Yeah, you're worried he's going to mess it up.
Yeah.
You're like, don't drop the ball, dude.
Yeah. No, trust me, dude. It's all ego.
No, that pressure will be good for the kid. He'll be like, he'll feel like he has a quest
right.
to carry the name.
What's up, guys? I'm interrupting this podcast to let you know once again that we are brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped, thank you so much for keeping our trims peeved, for looking after our hogs, for making sure that our dinks are looking fresh and clean. Because ho, 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 fellas, naughty or nice, tis the season to perform. We're talking about your dink. We're talking about your pubes. We're talking about your balls. Or just if you have pubes, you want to make sure that they look and feel fresh. And Manscaped has you covered with that. It's also the best gift you could give someone. Ladies, if you want to get your guy something sick, get him the Lawnmower 4.0 or the Performance Package. Get it for your dads. Get it for your, you know, newly pubed sons. There's so many people with pubes out there that could use this gift, pretty much anyone. So Performance Package 4.0 has the Lawnmower body trimmer, which is excellent, best in the game, won't nick your nuts, excellent. Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball toner, the Shed travel bag, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. They got everything, and you want to get on top of it now. These are our picks for Manscaped Surefire Wind Stocking Stuffers. The 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner just launched to kill two birds with one stone. The Manscaped Cologne Infused Body Wash. Shears 2.0 Luxury 4-Piece Nail Kit. Crop Mops Ball Wipes for your stanky balls. Manscaped Signature Cologne. They're vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know their products are legit. So, get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/godeep. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped. All right, back to the show.
Yo, boys, the name is Jam. Actually, it's Will. Jam is just a nickname, but let's get to it. Yeah, I would love to get on the pod with Yinz. What's Yinz?
Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's Pittsburgh.
That's a Pittsburgh thing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yinz guys.
Oh.
I know kayakers and surfers have some beef, but I don't spend much time in the ocean, mostly rivers, so surf on. I have respect for what Yinz do. I think he means something else.
I don't know why he's writing it, but I understand you say it.
I'm just finishing up a stout trip here in Ecuador. The rivers and parties have been good. I'd love to tell Yinz about it. And
he's literally writing an accent.
Yeah.
That's really strange.
That's a Pittsburgh thing?
Yeah.
Dude, if he throws one more Yinz in here, I want to understand what's happening. I feel like I'm like looking at like the Zodiac puzzle. I'm like, I don't know how to put this together, dude.
Yeah.
About and hear about some experiences you've had that could relate. I guess I should ask a question. What do you think I should or shouldn't tell this girl? Kind of a girlfriend, but I drew the line that we're just friends.
What?
What?
Oh, Yinz is just friends?
She's back in the States, and while here in Ecuador, I slept with a hooze. H-O-O-S-E. I ended up raw dogging and dropped a load. Not too worried about pregnancy because she was 40 plus. Parentheses, usually dried up. But it would suck to give the girl back home something gnar. Any advice?
What? I thought this was about kayaking.
What the fuck? I love that he threw that question and it's just like a little tack on at the end. Yeah. He's like, dudes, I love kayaking. There's nothing better than being in the river. By the way, I cheated on my girlfriend.
Who I may just be friends with. Yeah, but we clearly still sleep together.
We drew the line there.
Dude, I would probably break up with your girlfriend.
Yeah, and go get tested.
Yeah. I'd go get tested and break up with your girlfriend and just, you know, keep living your life, man. You seem like you're having fun doing what you're doing. You don't sound like you want to settle down with a girl. I would just break up with her and just kind of let her off the hook. I think, you know, this wasn't a great thing you did, but you seem young. I would just move on.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a sign that something's not there for you in the relationship. I mean, you drew the line at just friends with this girl, so why keep hanging out with her if you're not into her and you're just probably going to hurt her?
Yeah, I'd be interested to know how she feels about it. Because obviously, if he's writing the question, she probably has a fair amount of emotional attachment, I assume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I would wear a condom, man. I mean, I got herpes, so wear a condom.
Yeah, and I wouldn't assume that a girl in her 40s isn't fertile anymore.
Yeah.
Science is...
It happens.
Yeah.
And raw-dogging someone you don't know in a foreign country.
Yeah, not great call.
Oh, this is a guy actually saying, I just got to have a 4-year relationship. In this time, I found out I have herpes. Now I'm single, and I really don't know how to go about it. I definitely want to disclose I have the herp, but it's unknown territory. I want to keep having one-night stands date, but I feel like disclosing I have herpes will frighten girls. How do I go about this? What is your experience? Thanks for your help, dudes. Dude, I just tell everybody. Just get it out there. It's nice, dude. And honestly, people, I think they trust you more when you tell them because they know it's hard to say. So look, of course, it's going to cancel some people, you know, from being potential partners, but that's just life. It's fine. There's plenty of people. Also, so many people have it, man. I've been shocked how many times I've told a girl I have herpes and then she goes, yeah, I got it too.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's pretty common.
It's very common. And Valtrex too. If you take Valtrex, it makes the rate of transmission pretty, really low, right?
I think so. If you take Valtrex, you wear a condom, I think you're going to be, it's relative, you know, you never want to say something's totally safe. There's like asymptomatic shedding. It could still happen with a condom, but yeah, you definitely, if you take precautions, you can look out for the other person pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever given it to anyone.
That's good.
And, or maybe I haven't, they just didn't reach back out, but I don't think I've ever given it to anyone, which is, I'm sure it'll happen at some point, but it hasn't happened yet.
That's good.
Yeah, I would just tell people, dude. And you get more comfortable with saying it, and then pretty soon it'll just become habit.
Just wear a hat with it on there.
Yeah, just wear a shirt so they have herpes.
Yeah, it's a hat.
We flew a fucking plane in Long Beach that had a thing behind it that said, I have herpes.
It's probably going to get you laid more than anything else.
I don't care about that.
Sorry.
No, I totally care. Yeah. I don't think I care about anything as much as I care about that. Dude, when I first got into art, I was like, it's for the art.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, you think chicks will like this? I'd be like watching Bergman movies. I was like, this is life. He's talking about like what the real meaning of something is.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, it's kind of boring. I think chicks like a little more action.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Get a custom license plate. It says Herp Guy.
You're set. Dude, I like that.
Right? Unless it's taken, and then you got to figure out, you know, substitute three for the E.
Three for the E. You could also do herpes, sort of like Slurpee.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that.
Just maybe like H-E-R-P-E-E-Z. Herpes. Can you imagine driving around in that? Dude, I bet you'd get so many honks and just people being like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
And people who have herpes would be so appreciative. They'd be like, dude, I'm jealous. I wish I had that.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, no, it's actually a reference to Slurpees. I don't have it.
All right. What up, Sultans of Stoke? For the purposes of internet anonymity, I would like to go by Sapphire Valentine. Anyway, here's the sitch. I ended up matching with someone on Tinder a while back. They're really awesome, and we've developed a bit of a relationship. Only problem is we live on opposite ends of the earth. We've both accepted that neither of us plan to switch continents anytime soon, and that things will have to kind of stay casual because of this. However, we are still rather emotionally intimate and very flirtatious. I do still find myself missing physical intimacy, though, which naturally I'd only get by forming a new relationship with someone that isn't several time zones away. I feel torn on this because I do not want to bring things off with this person. I really cherish our relationship. But on the other side of this, I know that I would feel uncomfortable if I was in a relationship and my partner had another person they were seeing long distance. And so I think it would be unfair of me to ask someone else to be okay with me doing that. I have a lot of anxiety when it comes to intimate relationships, specifically worrying about not being good enough and fearing that a partner will leave me. I believe it's known as attachment anxiety. Anxious attachment, I think is what they call it. This makes the idea of polyamorous relationships very stressful and intimidating for me. I know that I need to get over my anxieties one way or another, and ultimately I need to be the one to choose what I should do. But I would like to know, what would you do if you were in a similar situation? Additionally, how do you deal with your own anxieties when it comes to relationships? I'd also love to hear your general thoughts, feelings, and experiences with polyamory and or long-distance relationships. Thanks for going deep with me on this one. Stay awesome, stay stoked. Oh, did he say, have you ever spent 4th of July at Newport Beach? A few years back, I remember smoking weed with some guys in Newport Beach on the 4th. That kind of reminded me of you. If it actually was you, that would be hella sweet. Like I said, it was a few years ago, so I can't remember for sure whether it was you or not. That very well could have been me.
4th of July in Newport?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was there 3 years ago.
I was there like 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, that could have been us.
I think he's thinking about it too much. I think, you know.
Big time overthinker.
Yeah, I would, and I get it, dude. But I would just, you know, if you're enjoying this, you know, long distance thing you're having with the Tinder girl, keep going at it. If you meet someone along the way that you want to form a relationship that's, you know, lives with you, that, you know, I think that's fair to do. But I think, you know, if you do start a relationship with someone new, I think you would have to break it off with the long distance thing, because I think that'd be, you know, some emotional cheating. So I think I would just, you know, just keep living, keep doing what you're doing, and then, you know, take things as they come. I wouldn't try to pre-plan it, and just enjoy what you're doing right now, and then keep yourself open, because you miss physical intimacy, so keep yourself open to other options.
Yeah. You seem a bit anxious to me to be someone who would get into, like, polyamory or something like that, because he's
did he mention that?
Yeah, he just says, but he said it's the idea of polyamorous relationships were very stressful and intimidating to me. But yeah. you're not even talking about polyamory.
Yeah,
like you're at a earlier stage. Like you're casually seeing someone remotely, and you've both kind of agreed it's casual, so you're both allowed to date other people. I guess that is by definition polyamory. But when I think about polyamory, it's like people in like a longer, more substantial relationship, and they're seeing other people.
Yeah, you know, amour, love.
Yeah, you're just not quite there, and I just think you're already diagnosing yourself anxious attachment, and I think you might have it, but I would just take everything easier, man. Like, just treat it like you're just learning.
Yeah,
and don't treat it like it's like the end all be all of like who you are as a person. I think you'll be fine. I think you need to date more people. It seems like I wouldn't tell the kayaker guy this. He's fine on that front.
Yeah.
But you, I would say you probably need like 2% more kayaker in you.
Yeah.
You need to like, I think, get out there and meet more people and see what actually works for you.
Yeah. Especially if you have no intention with this girl that you're chatting with, you know, across the world to, you know, be in the same place. It doesn't seem like there's much of a future in that, and it's probably holding you back.
Yeah, I agree. Nice guy though.
Yeah.
How isn't Tinder based on proximity? Like,
I think you can. That's actually a good.
I was like, how wide were search terms?
It's like, well, there's two options. He could have put himself in another city just to see who's there, which people sometimes do. Most of the time, means they're about to travel there or something.
Yeah.
Or he could have just been traveling there. The first one's weirder.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Some apps will like matching with people in like New York and stuff. But
do you know when's the horniest I've ever been? Is when I used to, at the end of the night, just take an Uber pool home. Mm-hmm. Not for the, because it's cheaper, but just like, maybe there'll be a hot chick in the Uber.
Really?
And we'll hit it off.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, just eternally an optimist.
Did that ever happen?
I was thinking about it. One time I hit it off with a girl in an Uber pool, but it was like 9 at night. It wasn't like the same circumstance I was kind of talking about. And we were flirting, but I felt like it was too much to ask for a number. And after she got out, the Uber driver was like, "You blew it, bro."
Really? That's
funny. He's like, "You should have asked for a number."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Should I have?" And he was like, "Yeah, dude."
He's like, "I've got it."
Yeah, I've got it.
Like, I got all her info, dude. Yeah. All right, Chad. Who is your beef of the week?
My beef of the week. This comes from Heat. Not having enough time. Al Pacino to do what you want to do. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I get in these moods, you know, where I was hiking with my mom in Santa Fe and just like enjoying life so much. And I was like, man, there's just so many things I want to do, but I just don't feel like I have enough time.
Love it.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just during the day, you know, even though I feel like I waste a lot of my time, you know, looking at YouTube and shit, but I just like, I always like lately, especially I feel like there's just so many things I want to do. And I just, you know, I guess being like 31 too, is like, I know it's not old by any stretch, but it's just sort of like, you're like, oh, you know, like soon I'm going to start. I don't know. I guess I'm just feeling like the
clock is ticking.
Yeah, where just I feel the concept of it goes by fast. You know what I mean?
100%. I think that's a good thought to be having.
Yeah, and I always just wake up and just like, I'm like, how am I gonna do this and that and that? And it's all I love it too. It's all just like passion of like just wanting to do a lot of shit. But that's where my beef is, just not having enough time.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Dude, I've actually been in a pretty good place with death, though, lately.
Really?
Yesterday, I was looking at my hands, and I was like, whoa, these aren't really my hands. This is just like the...
Oh, that's interesting.
The meat-like outfit that someone gave me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just get to inhabit this for a while.
Yeah.
And I actually believed it. Sometimes I'll have those thoughts, but I'm like, you don't believe that shit. You're fucking gripping this thing tight.
Like you're a spiritual being having a physical experience.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I like that. I like thinking of that.
But I like where you're at with time. I think that's good. I mean, because that's like that Steve Jobs thing, right? Like, it's going to make you go harder if you know your time is finite.
Yeah, and it just...
I don't know if that's how he said it at his Stanford address, but I just know he said death was good.
Yeah, it's similar. But I guess I just sort of like... very stoked on life. And I just wanted to keep going.
That's good.
Like, there's so many things I want to do. I want to go see Limp Bizkit in Germany. Yeah,
it's tough to choose that.
That's one thing too. Is it's tough for me to like leave LA, because I'm like, if I leave LA, then I'm missing out on all the things I have to do here. But then I'll like go on vacation, you know, for like Thanksgiving, like 3 or 4 days, and it's a total reset, and it just sort of like refreshes you.
And I would say you had tons of ideas.
Yeah, just go on hikes. You just like you're out in nature, and you're like, oh yeah.
I think I get all my best ideas when I'm not chasing the idea.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you just sort of just living.
I think you'll have your biggest breakthrough idea while you're in the mosh pit in Dusseldorf rocking a Limp Bizkit, dude. I swear to God.
Yeah, dude.
They're like, someday you'll see things my way.
Yeah. Dude, there's a Limp Bizkit in Sao Paulo. When he's like, he's starting the concert, he's like, when I say get up, you get the fuck up. They're just playing this guitar riff. I'm like, that looks so fun, dude.
Dude, you're going to have a sitcom breakthrough at that exact moment.
Yeah. Fred Durst is telling me to get the fuck up.
It's nice when they boss you around like that. You're like, good. Yeah. You're looking out for him.
Yeah.
I mean, we are all standing, but okay.
Yeah.
It's a festival.
Get up, dude.
Ooh, Sao Paulo.
Aaron, who's your beef of the week?
My beef of the week is with the Santa Ana Winds.
Oh, nice.
Fuck you, dudes. It's very unchill for you to show up and dry out all of our skin and make fires happen.
Yeah.
Made my baby, her skin got all dry, and that's not cool for her. She's all red in the face. Well, get out of here. Nice. Especially, it's November. Fuck off. It shouldn't be 90.
Yeah. I like that, but I hear you on the wind.
I want some fall, you know? It was a fun time.
I hear you.
Get you into the season.
December especially is like when it's like chilly and stuff. You're like, the holidays are here. Yeah, it's time to put on a sweater and drink eggnog.
We can't even, in the city, we can't even light, you know, if you have a fireplace, you can't even light it because the air quality sucks.
Right.
From the fires that are generated by this, by these winds.
Damn.
Yeah. And I need that. I want to feel that for the holiday season.
I hear you. Preach.
Dude, my beef was going to be Seth Rogen, but we already covered it.
Oh, nice.
Who's your babe of the week?
My babe of the week is another, I guess it's a deep house. I don't even know. He's like a funk EDM guy. Purple Disco Machine.
Good name.
Dude, I love all his tracks. You got Stokers. If you want some like funky, sort of housey, deep housey, you know, jams, search Purple Disco Machine on Spotify. And then on Spotify, there's a playlist like Purple Disco Machine Essentials. And they're just bangers. And they just make me want to get up and, you know, shake my booty and just, you know, put on some shades and be cool.
Who's your babe of the week?
My babe of the week is a soda out of Scotland called Iron Brew.
Nice.
I found it. I heard about it on a podcast from a Scottish guy. It just sounded cool. So I found it on Amazon, bought a 4-pack. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not, since it's foreign, it's not full of sugar, although it is. Technically, it has sugar and aspartame, which is like, it's like having a regular Coke and a Diet Coke together. But it's kind of a gingery, almost orange soda. It's great.
Oh, nice.
Tastes really good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, my babe of the week is this kickboxer, Rico Verhoeven. Great name. He's the glory champ. He's been in for a long time. He had this fight with this guy, Jamal Sadiq. Sadiq busted his face up. Like, Rico Verhoeven's left eye looked like it was about to close shut. Oof. So you got to be worried with that the ref will, the doctor will stop the fight and you lose because the other guy gave you the cut. And so he knew he had to put the other guy away, and he just came out all busted up and just beat the hell out of the other guy and won the fight. It's one of the best fights I've ever seen. And I don't like kickboxing a ton. Like, of all the mixed martial arts that I watch, or martial arts that I watch, I kind of don't like the way they referee it. I don't know all the reasons why, but they just seem to break them up from the clinch too quickly. And even when the guys are being offensive, and that just must be something in the rules. But this was like a beautiful, beautiful fight and like really vicious. And this guy, Rico Verhoeven, he doesn't look like it, but he's jacked as fuck. But he has kind of like a nice face. You're like, he's not going to be that tough. He's tough.
Nice.
He's got a lot of heart. That's awesome. All right, Chad, who's your legend of the week? You fired me up with the time stuff, so I took my shirt off.
My legend of the week is my mom's dogs. I've probably done this a ton before, but dude, I mean, I was thinking about my mom's golden retrievers. You hang out with golden retrievers, you're like, I'm like, what else is there to do besides just hang out with these dogs and just get stoked? I mean, I love dogs so much. There's just something about when they, you know, they greet you in the morning and their tails wagging so hard that their butt is shaking, you know, and they just have a ball in their mouth. They're just looking at you and they're just like, I it's hard for me to think of something that makes me happier than dogs. I love being a dog. I love dogs. I love being around dogs. I want to have a ton of dogs. I've been waiting for that. I feel like I'm just waiting too much, but I'm waiting for that special
dog.
I know. I just, there's like, we're moving around so much. And I'm like,
get the dog.
Yeah,
dude.
I know. I love dogs.
I mean, you'll definitely like have moments where you're complaining about it. You're like, I got to go home to take care of this little guy.
Yeah.
But dude, I also, all right, you know how sometimes you want to get out of a party?
Yeah.
Dude,
right.
I got a dog now.
Right, yeah. Gotta go take care of the dog.
I gotta take care of the dog, baby.
Right, yeah. I don't even know if I'd go to parties. I would just snuggle with the dog.
And you could just tell people, hey, I can't make it. I got the dog.
Yeah. Just a selfie of me just snuggling.
Yeah.
God, they're the best.
And you'd care about it so much. You'd be like, you don't worry about your dog being a dork. What if your dog's not as cool as you?
Dude, I'd be pissed. Throw him in the ice bath. But that's not possible.
To put a dog in an ice bath?
No, that's possible for the dog to not
dude,
be that cool.
Do that. Yeah. You cannot do that. You cannot do that, dude. I can picture you day by day just getting closer, trying to get used to it, like dipping its little paws in there. And be like, he likes it.
Yeah.
He likes it. Me and Strider and Aaron are like, yeah, it seems like he likes it, dude.
It's going to boost his stoke. Yeah. But if you get golden retriever, I think it's pretty hard to get one that's not cool.
Oh, right. For sure. Yeah, they're always cool.
Yeah.
I've never seen like a bad personality on. Dude, Channing Tatum has a new movie coming out called Dog, where he's an Army Ranger, a retired one, who wants to get back in.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you can only get back in if you drive this military dog to his old like partner's funeral. Uh-huh. And it's like their road trip buddy comedy between him and the dog.
Nice.
It's perfect, dude. It's going to be a perfect movie.
Dude, did you see the news? Magic Mike 3.
I heard about this.
Directed by Soderbergh.
Dude, I got pessimistic about it.
Really?
Because when you care about something so much, you just don't want them to bungle it. You know what I mean? Because the first one was great.
Yeah.
And then the second one was next level.
Yeah.
It's the next level, dude.
But that wasn't Soderbergh, was it?
No, but he was. I think he shot it and his DP directed it. He was still involved.
Okay.
But Soderbergh's weird. He'll do like,
Soderbergh is his DP.
Right. On this one, he's like, I'll just do the lighting on this one or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. He's a very like fluid artist.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Maybe that's why McConaughey's not running for governor.
Right.
Gotta train.
Oh, they got to bring him back for the third one. But they showed him and Pettifer, especially Pettifer, hey, we don't need you. Number two is going to bang.
Yeah.
Best distillation of male sexuality I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fun. Dude, but I'm worried about number three. And I know he'll do it, but I'm worried Channing Tatum's not going to be as cut for number three as he was for the second one.
Dude, I didn't even think about that. That's huge.
But he looks pretty jacked in this dog movie. So, and I know he's a professional. I know he'll dial it up.
Yeah.
Dude, it's funny, dude. My brother's like fired up on it. I'm like, how did our parents raise us? Why are we so into this shit? I'm like, I think it's my mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's definitely my mom. Not my dad.
JT, you see Magic Mike?
He might secretly love it, though.
I'm sure he does.
Because I remember when me and my brother made him go see Brokeback Mountain with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he made us buy tickets for another movie. And he like ducked to the bathroom. Like, hey, you pussy, shut up. Just come into the fucking movie and watch this art, you little bitch. And then he ended up loving it.
Yeah. That's funny.
But yeah, he was a little gun shy going in. Chad.
Oh, no, my turn.
Oh, Aaron.
My legend, yeah.
Who's your legend?
My legend is Dave Holmes.
Oh, the VJ? The
former MTV VJ.
Yeah, he's nice. He's good on Twitter too, right?
He's good on Twitter. I've met him. He's a great guy. He's got a new podcast out that's like, literally, he's been obsessed with, there's one shot in the Motown Philly video of a white guy group called Sudden Impact.
Uh-huh.
So it's a whole 10 episode arc just finding out about them because they never released music. They never did anything, but they're in the Motown Philly video.
Whoa.
As like, this is the next big thing. So he did a whole podcast on that and just, he tells a compelling story even when he weeds off a whole episode into something else and you kind of lose the track of the journey to find these guys. Like it's still really interesting. And he just has like a great voice and
that's cool.
I rooted for him, you know, back when he wanted to be a VJ and lost.
I thought he was the best VJ of all of them.
Yeah. He certainly, I mean, he hung in there and got the job anyway.
My legend of the week is this dude, Ryan. We had a show in Santa Barbara on Saturday. You couldn't make it cause you went out of town. So me and Strider drove up there. And Brooks Burgoon gave us the fire recommendation with Sama Sama. It's a really good Southeast Asian restaurant. And we got there and they were like 30-minute wait. And then this dude comes outside. He's like, Strider! He was most fired up to see Strider. And then they bonesed.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what's up, dudes? What's going on? And we're like, oh, dude, we're just trying to get some dinner, but we're kind of in a hurry. He's like, I got you. Comes back, gets us a table, hooks it up with some lovely drinks, and was just a great guy. So then we brought him to the show.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to say goodbye to him. I had to dip out early. But Ryan was a legend, dude. Great That's guy. Awesome. Super cool dude. Says everyone there listens to the stuff and like sends each other photos and little gifts of it or whatnot.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It was really nice.
That's really cool.
Hope to see you again. And Brooks, thanks for the fire wreck on Sama Sama. It's really, really good.
Shout out to Brooks.
And now Strider saying he might do his, well, I shouldn't say, but they might do the reception there.
Oh, and SB.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're back to SB.
They might be.
Okay, cool.
He's pitching Sama Sama now.
Oh, wow.
He's the best, dude.
Yeah.
Strider's the best.
He's the best.
Chad, what's your quote of the week?
My quote of the week comes from Kevin the Schmoll. Sorry.
It makes you so happy.
Yeah, I was just telling JT and Aaron before the pod, nothing makes me happier than teabagging and Call of Duty. It's so stupid and immature, but there's just something that brings out so much joy.
Well, and tell them what your favorite part is.
So, my quote of the week is from Kevin. He was like, all right, down, let's bag him.
It's just so procedural.
These guys in their 30s just like teabagging, you know, high schoolers. Like, here, I'll show you.
Dude, you're literally crying. You're crying.
That's just as his wife is like in the same room.
Like I told you guys before, like there was a baseball game in the 90s called Bases Loaded 97. And it was like one of the first games that had like authentic throwing motions and hitting styles. And it was really great. But for some reason, after every play, your character, you'd make an out and then your character would do this like up and down kind of like he's ready for the next ball to come.
Yeah.
And so I would always, every time I'd make an out and then I'd go right behind the umpire who's got his hands on his knees and just do that right behind him. Every time. Playing alone, doesn't matter.
It's the best. It's the best.
Aaron, what's your quote of the week?
My quote of the week is one of my tweets about the original Dune. Just that an army of warriors as pretty as Kyle MacLachlan would be truly terrifying.
Yeah, with that guy's face, man. He has such a distinct
all
face.
All of them? Just a ton of those guys?
He has so much face. His face has like contours in places where most people's don't.
Yeah.
Dude, my quote
just
of the...
a pretty army. Just a pretty army. Even marching slowly towards you would be terrifying.
Yeah, and he doesn't look like a warrior.
No.
Like, he's pretty waspy looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's just because that's what he played on Sex and the City. Dude, mine is my buddy Grady, who always has the fire recommendations. Like, he told me to listen to Clooney on Mare, and that was awesome. And then he told me to watch this movie by Mike Nichols, the previously mentioned Mike Nichols. He has this movie called Carnal Knowledge with Jack Nicholson and Garfunkel from Garfunkel and Oates. Mm-hmm. And they're both, like, they start as college kids, and it's just about their pursuit of love. And it's, like, it's super, like...
Simon and Garfunkel.
Right.
Not Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, did I say Garfunkel and Oates?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Jack Nicholson and Kate Micucci.
Yeah, sorry. That's funny. I've been in LA too long, going to comedy shows. But there's some good dialogue in the beginning with Garfunkel. He's talking to a gal that he's hitting on at a party. And it is pretty true to life of like how college guys act. Does a good job. And this is what she says. She says, I hate these college mixers. It's such a funny way of meeting people. Everyone puts on an act. And then the guy's like just trying to yes and her the whole time. And then so he says, so even if you meet somebody, you don't know who you're meeting. She says, because you're meeting the act. And then he says, that's right, not the person. And then she says, I think people only like to think they're putting on an act, but it's not an act. It's really them. If they think it's an act, they feel better because then they think they can always change it. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you mean they're kidding themselves because it's not really an act? And she says, yes, it is an act, but they're the act. The act is them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's good dialogue.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. It made me think about things differently. Chat, what's your phrase of the week for getting after it?
Go for the bag.
Let's go kayaking, Yins, guys.
Yeah.
Mine is from the movie 25th Hour, which I think is one of the best movies of the 21st century. It's pretty incredible. Spike Lee movie, amazing acting. I think Barry Pepper's got the best character in it. Because he'll be like, his character has the most dimensions. Like, he'll talk shit on his friend, mm-hmm. and then the next minute he's like telling his friend he'll die for him, and you believe him in both moments.
Right.
And I think that's true for people. They feel strongly in both directions, especially when they're really close to someone.
Yeah.
And he's a great actor.
He is a really good actor. He's super underrated. He should be in more stuff. Because he's in scenes with Philip Seymour Hoffman and Ed Norton. And I'm like, whoa. I mean, he might be playing the better character, but I'm like, I think Barry Pepper's kind of taking this scene.
Yeah.
And he's in there with some, you know, those are two of the best ever. And, or in my life at least. And he has one line where he's yelling at Edward Norton's girlfriend for like not put enough pressure on him to get out of the drug business. And she's like, Francis, just say you're drunk. Will you just admit you're drunk? And he goes, I'm Irish. I can't get drunk.
That's
like,
great.
I was like, nice, dude. What a dude. Just a dude guy. Dude, I think that's it. There's one more thing I kind of want to talk about, but I don't know. think the moment's passed. Oh, dude, this is what I want to do. But before we go, I'd also like to say, because the recruiting stuff sparked this in my head, the college recruiting stuff. If you're a young college, if you're a young high school baseball player and you're thinking about where to go to college, go to UCI and get coached under Danny Bibona, best pitching coach in the game. And they should call it UC Newport Beach because it's right there. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I play Warzone with Danny all the time. That guy is a coach, dude. I want to perform for him.
That's great.
He brings out the best of me out there. Oh, and dude, we got to say goodbye to Verdansk. By the time this next one comes out, Verdansk is going to be gone.
Yeah.
2 years of our lives on there. It carried us through the pandemic.
I'm worried, but I saw... Well, first, let's pay homage to...
We got to pay homage to it. To prison.
Prison.
Airport.
Airport. Superstore. That roof.
And we named all the buildings after people. Like our buddy Chili, we named a building after him. And because his name's Chili, we named the next door building Applebee's.
Nice. The Boneyard, dude.
Robbie named all the orange boxes Chastain's.
Right, yeah. I didn't know what you guys were talking about at first.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Just so much beauty comes out of it. So much language and friendship and adrenaline.
It's tough to come to terms with. I mean, Activision is really toying with our emotions here. They're saying, you have to say goodbye to Verdansk. Like, change is coming.
Every time you get on there, when you're logging on, it goes T-minus, like, 11 days, 8 days, 7 days.
Wow.
It's going to be gone forever, man.
It's Verdansk. The first time you'll miss a city in Poland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verdansk, I'll miss you, dude. Thank you so much for everything you gave us.
Thank you, Verdansk.
And I'm, I was worried about Vanguard. But then I saw a trailer for the new map, Candor. It's tropical.
It's tropical? I'm in.
Hand me the